my second visit with them for the, one of their annual meetings. I make films and write books, and I think I'm just going to bring them up to speed on what I've been doing in the last few years, which are primarily focused on a big 3D movie about Antarctica, and then a kind of a nationwide look at fracking, which follows on the heels of the film we made in New York called Dear Governor Cuomo, which was all about fracking in New York State.
And you've got one, Dear President Obama.
Dear President Obama, yeah, as we started shooting that last November, and hope to, we'll be shooting it all this year and have it out early next year.
How will it vary? How will it be different than Dear Governor Cuomo?
Well, Dear Governor Cuomo was kind of an incredibly fortuitous seat of the pants. Everything was recorded in 24 hours. It was based around a kind of a concert protest that we organized at the Egg in Albany, whereas this Dear President Obama is looking at fracking across the country. So we're literally sending videographers and photographers to, you know, not quite 34 states where fracking is done, but pretty close. They've already been to Colorado and Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas and California and Pennsylvania and West Virginia, just, you know, looking at the issue from a very kind of, hopefully, kind of middle-of-the-road perspective and trying to assess what its good points are, but to be honest, primarily what its weaknesses are.
Much of the talk to the president, much of the lobbying on the president has been regarding Keystone, the Keystone pipeline. You don't hear a lot directed at him over hydraulic fracturing.
Well, the president, in one of his State of the Union addresses, he adopted that notion that is promoted by the gas and oil industry that, you know, all this natural gas that they claimed that we had would lead to an energy independence for America. And at, you know, one point, and this, you know, kind of sprung from the Marcellus Shale near to us over in Pennsylvania, where the big gas company guys were going before Congress and saying that there was 100 years of natural gas there, 150 years of natural gas, 200 years of natural gas. And Obama picked that up and he ran with it. And in one of his State of the Union addresses, he said, we have 100 years of natural gas, which has just proven not to be true. And, you know, the politicians obviously liked that information they were getting from the gas industry because that suggested something that politicians love, which are jobs. And so Obama, like a lot of politicians, picked that information up and has run with it. But as exploration for natural gas continues, it's becoming clear that those resources are just not as vast as were once predicted.
In New York, we're still waiting for the state to make a decision. It appears now that we won't hear anything until after the election this November as Governor Cuomo tries for another term. What do you think will happen? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you have a feeling of which way this is eventually going to go in New York?
Yeah, you know, I wish sometimes I could sit in the corner of the governor's office, you know, the proverbial fly on the wall, and get a sense of how they talked about this issue in private moments. Yeah, certainly he's not going to do anything this year. You know, our hope is that he'll continue a real moratorium, you know, maybe be bold and say, you know, even say, you know, for 2 or 3 years, we're just going to put this on hold. We don't feel it's right for New York. You know, he's still got his health commissioner studying the health impacts of fracking, which is the right thing to do. I mean, for the moment, he's definitely on the right side of caution. You know, we've been filming in California and Colorado, which are, you know, big oil and exploration states, and people are used to seeing drill rigs and oil wells, not necessarily in suburban neighborhoods like they are now increasingly in, outside of Denver. But, you know, here in New York, we don't really have that history. We've done some interesting things with the video we've been making and taking some of these images of you know, multiple natural gas rigs from Colorado and laying them over the Hudson Valley or the Adirondacks just to get a sense of what it would look like if that kind of industrial activity came to New York. And it will blow people's minds when they see what it could look like if it actually did come.
Your other film, Antarctica 3D on the Edge, premiered just a few weeks ago on National Geographic. Tell us a bit more about that film for those who didn't see it.
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, that was kind of a sneak preview. It's one of those films that's headed for the museum and science institution market, so it has a kind of future of a 10-year run at museums around the world. It's the movie when you go to the museum and you pay your admission, they say, oh, do you want to see the 3D movie? And everyone hopefully will say yes. You know, I've been to Antarctica a couple dozen times, going back to 1989. That was my first assignment for National Geographic, actually, was to write about Antarctica. And I've been back often, and I've had the opportunity to see it, especially this 900-mile-long peninsula that juts out from the continent towards the tip of South America. I've had the opportunity to see it change. You know, that along that peninsula, the air temperature has warmed in the last 50 years faster than anywhere on the planet, 5 to 9 degrees Fahrenheit. And there's a lot of ice there, but, you know, it's amazing how quickly it's disappearing. And, you know, we've looked at the Arctic. You know, we're constantly hearing about how the Arctic ice is changing, how the ice in Greenland is changing. And this movie kind of reminds you that there is this massive continent, bigger than the United States and Mexico, covered in ice, and it's changing too.
A report recently came out that said the United States will be facing some serious problems from climate change in the next few decades. What do you think that report will do? Just add more fuel to the debate, or do you think maybe this could be a turning point?
Well, unfortunately, I think we as a species tend to only react when our backs are against the wall. You know, we tend to get most concerned or most verbal about these issues when there's just been horrific floods or storms or something that is kind of climate change related. But minus that, we're very slow to move. And I say that, you know, it's for all peoples of the world. I mean, I have the kind of interesting luck to have traveled quite a bit around the world. And here in the United States and in the West, we have an incredible access to information. You know, if you went on the internet and you know, type in climate change or climate change report, you know, you can get volumes and volumes and volumes of information. It's all out there at the fingertip. Much of the world doesn't have that access, and so they're not quite as up to speed on this stuff as other parts. And so, I mean, I think there's a huge disparity between, you know, what we kind of regard as common sense or the truth, and what much of the world understands.